What up, what up, what up? This is your man Dre Day from Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast, and I have a public service announcement for all you listeners out there. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground in 2018, I had so many questions. How do I record an episode? Where do I find background music? How do I get my show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all the other places people like to listen? Also, where do I find advertisers? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and 100% easy to use. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast, go to anchor.fm/start to join me in the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join. Oh, one thing, you can record your episode from your phone or computer. So again, go to anchor.fm/start to join. And I can't wait to hear your podcast. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's golden boy, Dre Day. What's up? What's up? What's up? This is episode 229 of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast, 229 episodes in. And today is Thanksgiving, so I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of y'all out there. Got a lot to be thankful for, but I'm going to, you know, speak on that. You know, that's going to be my little close, you know, that's going to be my little closing session, you could say. But this episode here, I want to get this done before I got to, you know, start getting ready for work or whatnot. It's been a crazy week. You know, usually I record these episodes Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, but it's been so crazy. I'm basically recording this on Thanksgiving Day, and the episode is, when you listen to it, it will be Thanksgiving Day, you know what I'm saying? So, again, this episode here is the recap from this past weekend in the NFL. Yeah, that's basically what's going to be on this episode. So, obviously, you know, I got to do the little recap from the Tampa Bay and New York Giants game that happened on Monday Night Football. I'm going to keep it tall with you. I'm going to honestly keep it all the way 100 with y'all. That game, I didn't watch physically. I was too busy at WWE's Monday Night Raw. They had an event at Barclays. Shout out to the WWE for actually being back in Brooklyn. They had Survivor Series on Sunday, but I couldn't work. So I was like, yo, I'm off Monday. So I'm in the building for Monday Night Raw. And it was a good thing I went. It was a dope experience. Unfortunately, one crazy mishap happened. A fan jumped the rails in the venue and attacked WWE star Seth Rollins
as he was getting ready to go backstage, which was crazy because I'm thinking it was another wrestler that attacked him. And then you're watching it on the screen. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. That's a fan that attacked him. And, you know, that whole shit right there was crazy in itself. It was a dope experience. But, yeah, like I said, like, I can't really assess that much on this game because I didn't watch it. You know what I'm saying? But I do know Tampa won 30-10. I do know Brady had 2 touchdowns and he threw an interception. He did have a, I guess you could say for his standards, a monumental run for a first down. Supposedly it was 10 yards, but you let him tell it, it was 11 yards. Mike Evans had broke a record. I believe he's now the all-time leader in touchdowns as a receiver for the Tampa Bay Bucks. So shout out to him and congrats to him for that. The Giants are just the Giants. I mean, Daniel Jones has proven once again to be a major disappointment from the Giants picking so high on him a few years ago. And what was it? I think Tuesday they fired Jason Garrett as their offensive coordinator. But in my honest opinion, I think it's time that you break that whole squad up in New York. You know, starting with, you know, the higher-ups. You know, it's time for John Mara to go, even though I know he's not going anywhere. So it may be time for Gettleman to go. It may be time for Judge to go. This is somebody who didn't even deserve the job to begin with. But the problem with him is he comes from that Belichick family tree. So you have everybody that plays, well, you have everybody that coaches under Belichick thinking that they will have the same success as him or have any success at all, which is not true. Just look at the family tree of Coach Belichick. Not one coach that has been under his tutelage. When they've branched off on their own, they have not been successful. They have not even a little bit. Charlie Weiss, when he did the Notre Dame shit, how'd that pan out? I believe he even had a stint as a, coach for the University of Kansas in college football. How did that plan out? Romeo Crennel, he's had coaching stints here and there. How did that pan out? Great defensive coordinator, absolutely great defensive coordinator. But as far as him being a head coach, how did that plan out? Josh McDaniel, we're not even going to get started with him. Bill O'Brien, how did that plan out? Matt Patricia, whew, child please. Don't even get started with that one. And now him. And I'm sure I'm leaving some, names out, but you get where I'm going. When you are part of the Belichick family tree, if you are a Coach Belichick disciple, you're better off staying with him. Because once you try to branch off on your own, it is not going to work. You will not be successful. And the same thing is going on right now with Judge. There were plenty of other coaches with crazy experience that had more of a deserving to be a head coach than him. But like I said, people think just because they're under that Belichick family tree, they're entitled to something. Nah, man, it don't work that way. But again, Tampa won 30-10. Tampa desperately needed this win. You know, from, you know, having a 2-game losing streak, it felt good to be on the winning side again. And like I said, I think I said it in my last episode. Not my last episode because I had the Queen Keisha up here. I believe the episode before that, I said maybe that's what it is that they need. They need a home game. You know, they need to be in front of their fans. They need to be in front of their crowd, you know, receiving that emotion. And look, they got 30 points out of it. So, yeah. Proud of Tampa for getting this win. Proud of them for getting this win. I might as well stick to the format and recap every game because, like I said, I didn't watch that game in its entirety, so I might as well recap all the other games in the process. Thursday night football, you had the Patriots and the Falcons. Listen, the Patriots right now are looking dangerous. They're looking very dangerous. I believe they are on a good winning streak right now. A good winning streak right now. I believe they're riding a four-game winning streak after their loss to the Cowboys. And they're striking at the right time. Because Buffalo is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So right now, New England has a half-game lead in the AFC East for first place. Because I believe Buffalo hasn't had their bye week yet. I don't think they've had their bye week yet. I could be wrong. I don't think they had their bye. I don't think. The point is, it doesn't matter. New England is still in first place. And the crazy thing is this. When the season first started, when I did my prediction, I did say Buffalo would win the division. But I also said I would not be surprised if the Patriots is somewhat neck and neck with them for that division. And right now, that's exactly what's been going on. Mac Jones has truly gained command of this offense. The Patriots defense has been top shelf. See what a year does? Now remember, you had about 8-9 guys that didn't play last year. They all opted in this year. And now look what's going on with New England. And the one thing we know about Coach Belichick is, when it comes to that defensive side of the ball, he is a defensive guru. And it's showing right now this season. Now, Judon, I was going to give him some high praise, but he did say some crazy shit a few days ago about mac and cheese that he's got to lose some points with me on that one. Talking about that mac and cheese is overrated. You know, they need to get that out of here, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, yo, your black card has officially been revoked. Because if it's one thing that we know, whether it's, I don't care if it's Thanksgiving or not, mac and cheese is one of the most popular dishes on your plate whenever you have mac and cheese. Whether it's for Christmas, whether it's for Easter, whether it's for any regular Sunday, Thanksgiving, mac and cheese is one of the most important dishes. Now, maybe he was saying that because maybe his experience of eating mac and cheese has been the shit. You know, maybe his mother don't know how to cook it. Or maybe his girl's mother or maybe his girl don't know how to cook it. But mac and cheese is the shit. For me, it's all about who makes it. Because me personally, I can't eat everybody's mac and cheese. I'm gonna keep it tall. I can't eat everybody's mac and cheese. There's only a few that I can eat. My mother, for sure. That's the queen right there when it comes to mac and cheese. Now, if anybody knows me, they know Miss Daphne can kill it when it comes to that mac and cheese. My second mom, Miss Angie, she can kill her some mac and cheese. Do not get it twisted. Do not get it twisted. There's some wonderful Latinas out there that can sure make up some mac and cheese. Do not get it twisted. Do not get it twisted. Okay? Let's see. I believe it's just them two. And like if I go to a soul food spot, because you know they're going, you know what I mean? You know they're going to crack up their mac and cheese. You know what I'm saying? So it's only a select few people that I would even think about eating their mac and cheese. You know what I'm saying? But to get back on topic, yes, the Patriots are 7-4. They're looking like one of the most dangerous teams in the AFC right now, being that the AFC has been so inconsistent this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no clear-cut favorite in that division. Hell, there's no clear-cut favorite even in the NFC because there's been so many upsets this season, which I'm actually happy with. The Falcons are now 4-6. I mean, they're just pretty much off and on. But like I said, man, the Patriots right now on a four-game winning streak. They're striking at the right time. And like I said, I was talking about Buffalo, and then they got their ass smoked by the Indianapolis Colts 41-15. Actually, this was my upset pick. This was actually my upset pick. because I had picked the Colts to beat the Buffalo Bills. When I did my picks Sunday, when I posted them on my social media pages, the Colts over the Bills was my upset pick. And listen, I know we talked about all these quarterbacks that was valuable candidates for MVP. I know we talked about Brady. I know we talked about Matthew Stafford. I know we talked about Kyler Murray, but he's definitely far from the wayside now because I think he's gonna miss two games now, so his stock is falling. Brady, Matthew Stafford, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, you know, those were like the MVP candidates. Let me tell y'all something, man. I know we threw Derrick Henry's name in there for MVP when he was playing, but obviously he's hurt. But let me tell you something, man. This Jonathan Taylor from the Colts, he should be in heavy rotation for MVP. He should be. Like, he definitely should be in the conversation for MVP, man. Like, real talk. Because what he's doing right now, what he did against Buffalo, he put on a clinic by himself. So, the Colts, man, listen, the Colts are looking very, very scary. Very scary. You know, I don't think I had them in the playoffs. But, listen, right now, I don't know if they're going to get the division, but they could still somewhat get that wild card. And like I said, Buffalo, they're just messing up big time. Josh Allen, this is somebody who just got a serious bag. $250+ million to be exact. And he's stinking up the joint lately. That's not good. There's a rookie in Foxborough that is somewhat having, I'm not going to say he's having a better season than Josh Allen, but he's definitely doing his thing. Buffalo better get it together because in the next coming weeks, they got New England. So they better get it together because they got to play New England twice. They haven't played them yet. But yeah, the Colts won that 41-15. Bears and Ravens, the Ravens won that 16-13 without Lamar Jackson. Confidence boosted, you could say. Like this was the game where Baltimore could have said, you know what, Lamar's not here. Okay, if we lose, everybody's going to use that excuse for us. If Lamar's not here, that's why they lost. But they took the initiative and they won. Even though it was by a field goal, but they still won. They still won the game. So, congrats to them. Because they could have definitely just threw this game out, being that Lamar didn't play. But I'm glad that they decided to go out there and actually play. They're now 7-3. And they still, you know, have that somewhat comfortable lead in the AFC North. The Lions and the Browns. Listen, the Browns struggled with the Detroit Lions. Baker Mayfield. Listen, I think it's safe to say that when this season is over, Cleveland is going to do either one or two things as it pertains to Baker Mayfield. This is just my honest opinion. I didn't read this anywhere. I don't know any higher ups in Cleveland or anything like that. This is just my honest opinion on what I think they're going to do with Baker Mayfield. They're either going to franchise tag him because he is not getting the max. He done blew his chances already with that. When you only have 10 touchdowns and 10 games, well, 11 games, because it's week 11. We're about to go on week 12. You're tied for 23rd in touchdowns. You only have 10 touchdowns. 10. That's crazy. I think Brady caught that in three games. And on top of that, I honestly think that either they're going to franchise him or they're going to let his ass walk and try to go for somebody else. Because this crystal clear Baker's not that guy. And the crazy thing is, you can't blame Odell no more because Odell's not there. You can't blame him no more. You truly can't. So you can get that out the way. I'm not looking for the sympathy party when it comes to these injuries, because guess what? If you're injured, you shouldn't be out there. And now he has this thing where he's throwing shade at the fans and all this, that, the third. First of all, you should want your fans on your side. Now, here's the thing. If you play poorly, they're going to boo you. And lately, you have been playing poorly. And it's one thing I know about Cleveland Brown fans. They're very loyal. They're very loyal. They're loyal to you even if they go 0-16. If you play great, they're going to love you. If you play like shit, they're gonna hate you for it. And right now, Baker, you're playing like shit. You're not looking like that number one draft pick from years ago. But the crazy thing is this. You see all these Progressive commercials still on TV. He's more productive in those commercials than he is on the actual football field. Now, my question to y'all is this. I'm eager. I would have loved to know what would have happened if Lamar Jackson had these stats. I would have loved to see what would happen if Kyler Murray had these stats, if Russell Wilson had these stats. I would have loved to see how they would have been treated. Because, see, for me, I think Baker's getting a slap on the wrist here. But we know why. We know why. Let's not be naive. We know why. We know why. The Titans lost to the Houston Texans. This is another game where a team that had no business winning won and pulled the upset. So even though Tennessee is 8-3 and they're the number one seed, they're inconsistent, man. I'm supposed to sit here and believe that Ryan Tannehill, when it comes playoff time, can lead this Tennessee Titans team to the Super Bowl. No, I'm not jacking that at all. At all. I feel bad for Adrian Peterson, though. He had his 9 carries at 40 yards, and then bam, they gave him the axe. So now he's back to not being on an NFL team. But the Texans, man, listen, shout out to them, man, because they played this game, and that rain, played lights out, went to Tennessee, pulled the upset. Not only did you pull the upset, but you also beat them in their house. So, salute to y'all for that. Green Bay and the Vikings, man. One of the most storied rivalries in the NFL. See, Minnesota, man, it's like they inconsistent with me, man. It's like, yo, like, they're 5-5, but they're not what their record says they are. They're not an average team. They're not. They're much better than that. They just can't close out. But they was able to close out this game. Kirk Cousins, I mean, look at the numbers, man. Almost 350 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. He has the stats, but at the end of the day, he don't know how to close out games. Aaron Rodgers, almost 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. Playing with a injury to the toe. Dude was on ESPN in a video call showing people the injury to his toe. Like, my God, nobody wants to see your damn toes. Because I know for a fact I don't want to see them shits. I don't want to see your feet at all. But salute to the Vikings. Because this was a game they definitely needed. Especially if they're trying to, you know, stay in playoff contention. Because let's keep it tall. They're not getting into the division. That's not happening. I mean, they can, but Green Bay would have to go on a crazy losing streak because they're only 2 games behind in the losing column. You know? So, they're not out of it yet. They would have to win, and basically Green Bay would have to start losing. Jets and Dolphins. Listen, the Jets, trash. Dolphins won that 24-17. I mean, Joe Flacco played good. You know, close to 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, but Jets is just the Jets. There's nothing else to really say about that. The Jets is just the Jets. The Eagles is peaking up. Like, I remember when the season first started. Nope, like, Eagles was not looking very promising, but right now, 5-6, they're still in that playoff hunt. Still in that playoff hunt. Don't sleep on them. Don't sleep on these Eagles, man. Jalen Hurts didn't throw no touchdowns, but he damn sure ran for some. I mean, Philly, man. I mean, that wild card, the wild card race for the NFC is going to be interesting. You got Carolina. You got Philly. You got New Orleans. You got Minnesota. Those wild card spots are going to be very interesting. The Rams is definitely going to get one of them. Because, I don't know if they can get the division with the Cardinals. They would basically have to win their next game with the Cardinals because the Cardinals already got the tiebreaker with them. Speaking of the Panthers, Cam Newton started this game. He returned back home. And that crowd was ready for him. And I said that was going to happen. I said the crowd was going to be in an uproar when Cam Newton came out that tunnel. And they was ready for him. You know, he went up against his old coach, Ron Rivera, but Washington wound up pulling it off. They pulled the upset. So now they're 4-6. Carolina is 5-6. I mean, this Heinicke dude, man. I like this dude, Taylor Heinicke. I like his game. If he can stay healthy, his future is very bright. They need to just give him this team right now. I know they signed Fitzpatrick, you know, in the offseason, but like give this young man the team now. Just give it to him. It's his squad now. Let's just call it what it is. It's his squad now. Cam did have a good game though. Threw 6 incompletions, close to 200 yards, he threw 2 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey was killing it. Catching and running, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Carolina lost this 27-21. The 49ers beat the Jaguars. Not surprising here, even though the Jaguars did pull the upset of upsets by beating Buffalo early this season. The Bengals beat the Raiders. Listen, the Raiders, man, listen, they... Listen, ever since all of this drama within their team, they've been very inconsistent. I mean, after Gruden, I think they was on a 2-game winning streak. And then with Riggs and the other player's name that was going through that got cut. Now they're on a losing streak now. And they're catching it at the wrong time. Because when we thought of that division, the AFC West, we said Kansas City, Chargers, and possibly Raiders. Now, they're falling behind. They're falling behind. They better get it together. They better get it together. Cowboys, whoo, man. The Chiefs beat the Cowboys 19-9. The Chiefs are striking at the right time now. I know it was a lot of questions a few weeks ago about the Chiefs. Some people were saying their dynasty is over, yada, yada, yada. Well, guess what? Right now, they're 7-4. They're riding a winning streak. And their defense was very impressive against this Cowboys team. They kept them to 9 points. Now, yes, the Cowboys did have some players that didn't play. Dak still threw 2 interceptions, though. Zeke has not been Zeke of old. I mean, whew. I mean, listen, y'all know I'm not going to complain when the Cowboys lose. Y'all know I'm going to love when they lose. But I must admit, there have been games I've picked them to win and they won. But this was one game I picked them to lose, and I'm glad it worked that way. Because I honestly said that they need this win more than Kansas City do. I mean, Kansas City obviously needs it. But for me, the Cowboys need it because when you think of their marquee wins this season, the only publicized win that's worth talking about is against New England. That's it. Who else? Like, let's be honest. Who else has the Cowboys beaten this year? Oh, yeah, I forgot the Chargers. Pardon self. So, besides those two wins, everybody else, you kind of expected them to beat. You know what I'm saying? And now they got their Thanksgiving game today against the Raiders. Do we really think the Raiders is going to beat the Cowboys? Don't worry, I'm going to do my picks later on. So, you know, just hold on tight. The Cardinals and the Seahawks. Listen, I think it's safe to say that the Seahawks, I mean, it's not official yet, but I'll say it. I think it's safe to say that the Seattle Seahawks are eliminated from playoff contention. And I also think it's safe to say that this might be Russell Wilson's last season in Seattle. I honestly think that this is his last season there. I think it's time for a new regime. I think it's time for him to go somewhere else, take his talent somewhere else, because this Seattle team can't offer him nothing. Seattle once again loses at home. Once again. They have 7 losses this season. 7. And 4 of them are at home. 4 of them at home. That shit is crazy. Listen, the Cardinals 9-2. And like I said earlier, Kyler Murray has been out for 2 straight games, but Colt McCoy has been holding it down for them. He has definitely been holding it down for the Arizona Cardinals while, you know, Kyler has been nurturing his injury. Zach Ertz been doing his thing since he got traded to the Cardinals. D-Hop is still injured. So the Cardinals have been doing this without 2 of their key offensive guys. That's impressive if you ask me. And they still got that lead in the division, let alone the conference. If the playoffs started today, the Arizona Cardinals would have the number 1 seed in the NFC. It was Green Bay, but Green Bay lost to the Vikings. Pittsburgh and Chargers had them a slugfest on Sunday Night Football. But Justin Herbert showed up in the clutch. And helped propel the Chargers to a 41-37 victory against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger probably played his best game this season. And it still wasn't enough. So now Pittsburgh is now 5-4-1 because of that tie with the damn Lions. And now the Chargers is 6-4. And like I said, like that race in the AFC West is getting interesting. You cannot afford to lose at all. All 4 of those teams are either above 500 or at 500. Neither one of those teams can afford to lose. Same thing could be said for the AFC North. Each team in that division is above 500. So these last few games is going to be very interesting. Very interesting. So yeah, that's my recap for week number, week 11? Yeah. That was my recap from week 11. When I come back, it is time to give out my offensive and defensive player of the week awards. And then, of course, I have to do my game picks for week 12. So this is your man Dre Day, Sportswear with Dre Day podcast. Again, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I'm going to take a quick little break, get me something to drink, throat is dry, and then when I get back, offense and defensive player awards will be given out. Also, you know, game picks for week 12. Don't go anywhere. Holla at your boy. What up, what up, what up? It's your man Dre Day, and I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN Index, an annual financial survey? Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com, or call him at 443-810-0384.
It's time for Dre Day's Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week. Lovely.
What time it is? It's time for Dre Day Weekly's Picks. What up, what up, what up? Your boy is back. It is now time for Dre Day's Week 11 Offensive and Defensive Player of the Week Awards. Let's go to the offense first. My Offensive Player of the Week for Week 11 was... Indianapolis Colts running back Jonathan Taylor. Listen, when you can have 5 touchdowns, 4 of them rushing, 1 receiving, and you had almost 200 yards on the ground, you're doing something. So that right there gives him the clear-cut shot for Offensive Player of the Week. So there you have it. Jonathan Taylor of the Indianapolis Colts is Dre Day's Week 11 Offensive Player of the Week. And now it is time to go on the other side of the ball. Defense. They say defense wins championships, right? So Dre Day's Defensive Player of the Week for Week 11 goes to Kansas City Chiefs, Chris Jones. That is who is getting my Defensive Player of the Week award. When you can have a fumble recovery, 3.5 sacks, and 4 tackles. Well, 5 tackles. 5 tackles, 3.5 sacks, and a fumble recovery. Yeah, man, you can get my Defensive Player of the Week award. For sure. For sure you can get my Defensive Player of the Week award. I did want to give it to Slay from the Eagles with the pick 6. I did want to give it to him, but I think being that, you know, the Chiefs defense was able to keep the Cowboys on 9, and he obviously had a lot to do with that, I felt the need that I had to give it to him. I felt the need to give it to him. Pause. So those are my offensive and defensive player of the week awards for week 11. Jonathan Taylor of the Indianapolis Colts and Chris Jones of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now it is time for my game picks for week 12. Now, obviously, before we do that, I got to tell y'all what my record was in week 11. Man, major improvement for the previous week. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. How many games was the last week? 15 games was on the Dow this past weekend. Thank you to the Titans. Thank you to the Packers. Thank you to the Panthers. And thank you to the Raiders for giving me my four losses. Okay? Major improvement. But the Titans one is the one I'm really upset with. Because obviously they ain't have no business losing to the Texans. Now the Green Bay one, I'm not really that mad because, again, division rivals, that shit can go either way. And like I said in the previous in my previous recap episode, I think it was last year on my birthday when Minnesota went to Green Bay and put the beats on them. So I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay lost in Minnesota. I wouldn't be. And that's what happened. So, yes, your boy was 11-4 with his picks last week. So now it is time to go to week number 12 and my game picks. Like I said, this episode is being recorded on Thanksgiving. So, y'all know what today is. It's Thanksgiving football. You know we got three games on the agenda. First game, Bears and Lions. Now, there have been some rumors out there that Matt Nagy might get fired after this game. Listen, if you want to fire him, you would have been fired him. The Bears is 3-7. I mean, you don't want to fire a dude in the middle of the season. But I think it's safe to say that when this season is over, he's out of there. I think it's truly safe to say that he's gone when this season is over. Now, he done shut down the rumors. I believe somebody from the front office shut down the rumors. But I will say this, though. Let the Bears lose this game to the Lions. Justin Fields is not playing, so they're going back to Andy Dalton. This is the first game for Thanksgiving. I tell you this, let the Bears lose this game to the Lions. I wouldn't be surprised if his ass do get fired. Now, do I see them losing? No. So I'm going with the Bears to win. But I'm just saying, let them lose this game to the Lions on Thanksgiving. The winless Lions. You give the Lions their first win on Thanksgiving and they put the beats on you too? Yeah, he might just get fired after all. But I'm picking the Bears. Next game, we got the Raiders and the Cowboys. Thanksgiving. So y'all know how this goes. You know the Lions is going to have a Thanksgiving game, and you know the Cowboys is going to have one. I'm picking the Cowboys. I think the Raiders losing streak continues. I think the Cowboys put up about close to 30 on them on Thanksgiving. They're definitely not going to have 9 points this game. I don't see that happening. Next, we got the Bills and the Saints. That's the nightcap game for Thanksgiving. If it was any game for Buffalo to send a message to the contenders in the AFC, more importantly, New England, this would be the game to do it. This will absolutely be the game to do it. Ah, oh, man. Damn, this game, I really don't know. But you know what? I'm going to go with the Bills. I'm going to go with the Bills. This is not even an upset. It'd be more of an upset if New Orleans won. Even though it is, you know, in their dome. But like I said, Drew Brees is not coming out that tunnel. I believe it's Trevor Siemian, if I'm not mistaken. Now let's get to the Sunday games. We got the Steelers and the Bengals. Again, like I said, that division race is very interesting. Very interesting. Division rivals, man. You never can go wrong, man. Steelers and Bengals. Do the Steelers have an encore performance like they had against the Chargers, but this time, do they get the victory? I like the Cincinnati team, man. Joe Burrow, Mixon, and Chase. I mean, if you really think about it, the big three for the Bengals are a better big three than the Steelers. Burrow, Mixon, and Chase. All three of them have better stats than their counterparts in Pittsburgh. But which defenses am I gonna rely on? You know what? This game. Whew, this is gonna be hard. You know what? I'm going to go with experience on this one. I might be wrong, but I'm going to pick the Steelers. I would not be surprised if the Bengals won this game, but I'm going to pick the Steelers. So I'm sure my cousin Super John and my boy Chris Beniquez, they would appreciate me picking their Steelers, but I'm picking the Steelers. Wouldn't be surprised if Cincinnati wins, though. Next, we got the Colts and the Buccaneers. Listen, I just said the Colts are riding high on a winning streak right now. Three-game winning streak, to be exact. But now the defending champs come to town. And I know when the season first started, when the schedules came out, I kind of somewhat had my losses that I think Tampa would get. I said they would lose to the Rams. I also said the Colts might have been one of those losses. I know I said that. But just because I said that don't mean I'm going to pick the Colts to win. I'm still picking my Bucks, but if the Colts was to win, again, I wouldn't be surprised because when the schedules came out, I said Tampa would have four losses. Four. And one of those losses would be to the Colts. But I'm still not picking against my boys. I'm picking Tom. I'm picking the Bucks. F that. Next, we got the Panthers and the Dolphins. I'm going with the Panthers. Feel me? Going with Panthers. Whoo, this game here is something. We got the Titans and the Patriots. Listen, if it was a game that the Titans definitely need, it's this game. After they stink to join up against the Texans, and then you lose to the Patriots in Foxborough, you definitely don't want to start losing games now in the AFC. Because you're trying to hold on to that number one spot in the AFC, but listen, man, they lose this game, I don't know. But you know what? I'm going with the Patriots. I'm liking the way they're playing. They got momentum right now. Everybody is really starting to talk about New England now. So I'm going with the Patriots to get the win at home at Gillette Stadium. Giants and Eagles. Eagles. Let's stop kidding ourselves here. The Giants or the Giants. Next, we got the Falcons and the Jaguars. This is one of those classic don't nobody care type games, from in the words of Coach Prime. Ain't nobody care or don't nobody care. You know, get well soon, Coach Prime. Speedy recovery from your surgery to your foot. I'm going with the Falcons. I'm going with them ATL boys. Jets, Texans, another one of those don't nobody care type games, but got to make a pick. I believe Zach Wilson will make his return this week for the Jets. I'm going with the Texans. I like what I saw out of Tyrod Taylor. I like what I saw out of him last week with their victory against the Titans. Chargers and Broncos. It's division rivals, man. This shit can go either way. This can go either way. But I'm going with the Chargers. Rams and Packers. Listen, I don't care if he got a toe injury or not. He gonna wrap that toe up. Anderson Lambeau. So he gonna really have to wrap it up. Pause. Because of that weather. Because I'm sure it's gonna be brisk in Green Bay. It's now November 2. They returned to the scene of the crime from last year when they beat the Rams in the playoffs. Rams are coming off a bye. So hopefully Odell got a grasp of the playbook now. I am going with the Green Bay Packers. Even though Devontae Adams is questionable, Aaron Jones is questionable, Aaron Rodgers is questionable, Lazard is questionable. But something tells me that all of them are going to be playing. Now, I know Aaron Donald is on the other side of the ball. I know Von Miller is over there. I know Jalen Ramsey is over there. I get all that. But I'm not picking the Rams over Aaron Rodgers and Lambeau. Now, if it was in L.A., then maybe I might have shifted towards them. But not against Aaron Rodgers and Lambeau. We not jacking that. Next, we got the Vikings and the Niners. Both of these teams are 5-5, and both teams is still trying to fight for a wild card spot. Now, I just said I don't trust Kirk Cousins, and I've been saying that all season. The Vikings just had a statement win against Green Bay at home. They're now going to the West Coast now. Last time the Vikings was in San Francisco was a few years ago in the playoffs, and they put the beats on the Vikings. This is not a playoff game, but it is in the same venue. I am going with the Niners to beat the Vikings. Like I just said, I don't trust Kirk Cousins. Don't let the stats fool you. Amazing numbers. 21 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. It's phenomenal. Amazing numbers. Still don't trust them. I'm going with the Niners to beat the Vikings. Sunday night football, we got the Ravens and the Browns. I'm going with the Ravens. Now, I know Baker Mayfield was talking all that smack about his own fans, but I tell you this, though. You're going to Baltimore for Sunday Night Football. If you stick the joint up there, what you think the Ravens fans going to say to you? Because you're already on your own fan shit list. You lose this game, you really going to be on their shit list. But I think that's what's going to happen. I think that the Ravens will pull this victory. And the crazy thing is, after this, I believe one of them have a bye, and then the following week, they're at it again. So, the first matchup with these two teams, I'm picking the Ravens to beat the Browns on Sunday Night Football. And then on Monday night, we got the Seahawks and the Washington Football Team. Because it's Monday night, I don't think Heineke knows anything about primetime games. So just because of nostalgia and experience, I'm going to go with the Seahawks to win on Monday Night Football. So those are my picks for Week 12. Let me give my recap for those games. Thanksgiving, which is today, I got the Bears, Cowboys, and Buffalo Bills. Then we get to the Sunday games. I got the Steelers, Bucks, Panthers, Patriots, Eagles, Falcons, Texans, Chargers, Packers, Niners, Ravens, and then on Monday Night Football, I got the Seattle Seahawks. There you have it. Those are my picks for Week 12. And now I must say it is a wrap for this episode. But before I go, I have to give a special, special shout out. Now, yes, I know this is a football recap episode, and I know I've barely done the NBA. You know what I'm saying? I've barely done the NBA. In fact, let me do a little bit of NBA before I go. A little bit. Let me just do a little bit. A tiny sample size of the NBA before I bounce up out of here. Listen, man, Phoenix, they're picking up right where they left off last year. Phoenix right now is riding a 14-game winning streak. 14-game winning streak. Now, I know all the talk has been about Golden State, but listen, Phoenix is right there on their ass. Golden State got two losses. They just put the beats on the Sixers last night. Phoenix is right there behind them at 15-3. You know what I'm saying? Brooklyn, clear-cut lead right now in the Eastern Conference at 14-5. Let's get to the elephant in the room, though. Now, again, like I said, I'm just doing a little bit of NBA talk. Just a little bit, because this was just supposed to be NFL. Elephant in the room, Lakers. LeBron got himself in a jam a few nights ago against the Detroit Pistons. He elbowed Isaiah Stewart, which in my opinion, I believe it was an accident. I don't think it was intentional. He apologized to the young boy. He said it wasn't intentional. But young boy put on a hell of an act. And then everybody was saying, oh, he wanted a piece of LeBron, this, that, and third. No, he didn't. Because if he really wanted a piece of LeBron, when they was squared up face to face, you would have threw a punch. But what did you do? You waited till everybody jumped on the court, and then you wanted to bogart everybody like he was Derrick Henry running people over to try to get to LeBron. Stop it. Stop it. You didn't want no smoke with LeBron. Not to say that LeBron is the toughest nigga in the room, because he's not. But what I'm saying is that you did not want no action with LeBron, because If you did, you would have executed when you had the opportunity to, and you didn't. So stop it. LeBron was suspended, which honestly, in my opinion, I don't think he should have been. But being that it was a flagrant two, and I think that Isaiah Stewart going out his way to be all dramatic after the fact. Now, yes, he was bleeding, but I think with him being all dramatic after the fact, I think that ignited both of them being suspended. I don't think LeBron should have been suspended, though. But, hey, look what he did the night he came back. He was suspended for the game against the Knicks, but look what he did against Indiana. And he used his power to get two fans kicked out the venue. So it's safe to say that they was getting too loose with their mouth. You could blame it on the alcohol, but hey, he used his power to get two people kicked out of the Pacers Arena. But yeah, like I said, man, I really didn't want to dive in too much on this. Again, like I said, I want to keep it short and simple with a little bit of basketball talk. A little bit. Now, before I go, I have to give my very, very special shout out. And that would be to the greatest, greatest college basketball announcer that has ever lived. I've been on this earth for 36 years. When I watch college basketball, especially when you watch the top tier college basketball games, Duke, Carolina, obviously back in the day, not right now, but when you thought of Duke, Carolina, or when you thought of the top shelf games of the season, it was one voice that we couldn't wait to hear, and that was the great Dick Vitale. And he made his return to the announcer's table this week. He made his emotional return, and he could not hold back his tears. Listen, I'm not even going to lie to you. I got teary-eyed watching him be so emotional, making his return, you know, to college basketball as an announcer. Because last month, he announced that he had lithotomia. Hopefully, I'm saying it right. I believe it's somewhat neck and neck with cancer or something like that. And he would undergo 6 months of chemotherapy. But this past Tuesday, he made his return to the commentary booth for one of the most biggest games this season. For number one, Gonzaga, against number two, UCLA. Now, yes, Gonzaga put the beats on UCLA, but that's not what this is about. This is about him making his return to what he loves, and that is talking college basketball. He was so emotional. He said he didn't want to cry, but as soon as he said that, he started crying. He said he couldn't believe he was sitting here. This is a big thrill for me. Listen, the fans in the building gave him a standing ovation. Listen, it was a wonderful thing to see. I love me some Dick Vitale. Like, when I watch college basketball, it gotta be him. Now, I love me some Jay Billis. I love me some LaPhonso Ellis. I love those guys. But listen, Dick Vitale is the standard. He is the blueprint of college basketball when it comes to commentary. And that's what we was missing. We was missing that. So it's good to have him back. So listen, that was my ultra, ultra shout out. So shout out to Mr. Dickie V. Listen, we miss the diaper dandy talk. We miss the "it's gonna be awesome, baby" with a capital A. He's a PTP, primetime play. Like, we miss that. And I know for a fact I miss it. So it's good to have him back on the sidelines. Continue this fight. And listen, man, like, as much as we talk about what he does on the basketball court, as far as being a commentator, it's no secret what he's done to raise awareness for cancer. This man has raised a lot of money. He's raised a lot of money for cancer. He's raised a lot of money. So shout out to Dick Vitale. Prayers go out to you as you continue this fight. Thoughts and prayers go out to you and your family. You continue this fight. Knock this thing out. Can't wait to see you again on ESPN commentating some basketball. Hopefully that'll be, you know, a stress reliever for you as you go through this fight. We know you're going to weather the storm. You are a strong individual. Continue to fight. Continue to fight. But like I said, man, I just had to give him a quick, much-deserving shout-out on this episode. So, again, it's a wrap for this episode. I want to thank everybody for their support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Y'all already know. Y'all can find me on all podcast platforms except Tidal. Y'all can find me on all my social media pages on Facebook, Dre Day, Instagram, Dre Day 1985, Sportsway with Dre Day podcast. The link is in both bios. And on Twitter, Dre Day 1985. Again, thank y'all for y'all support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Again, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I am thankful for my health. I have went for my yearly checkup that I usually do, yearly physical, did that last month. Everything was well, but the one thing I gotta work on is losing this gut. I gotta work on that. Pre-diabetic too, but I've always been that way. Diabetes runs in my family. So those are the two things that I definitely have to work on. I need some more vitamin D as well. Not the vitamin D that y'all think, because I don't shift that way. But I wouldn't mind giving out some vitamin D bars, okay? That's neither here nor there. But, again, I'm thankful for my health. I am thankful for my family. I am thankful for my son, because not only is he a soon-to-be high school graduate, but now he is tussling school and work. Yes, my son has his first official job. So Joshua, your dad is very proud of you. Very proud of you. Now you ain't got to ask your old man for any money. Which is a lie, because he's still going to ask. And of course, me being who I am, I'm going to still give it to him. But it is what it is. But yes, it's a lot to be thankful for. I'm thankful that I am still employed, even though I'm not too thrilled of the place right now, but I am fortunate that I'm still working. I am fortunate to, and I'm thankful that this podcast is still going. I'm thankful that I have a lot of support behind it, whether it's from the listeners or fellow podcasters that I've networked with, that I've get to chop it with from time to time, and we, you know, chop it up and talk about episodes that we've done or episodes that we're working on. I'm thankful for that as well. So it's a lot to be thankful for. It's a lot to be thankful for. But listen, I've done too much talking. It is now 8:11. I am hungry, okay? The food is done. The food's been done since last night. Yeah, we do things early up over here. You know what I'm saying? We do things early here. You know, food is done. I need me a plate before I get ready for work. So again, thank y'all, thank y'all, thank y'all. Happy Thanksgiving. Get your grub on. Have a happy and safe Thanksgiving with your family. My ass will be at work getting that time and a half. So in closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. Once again, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Have a safe and blessed Thanksgiving. Enjoy your football Sunday, but most importantly, enjoy your time with your family on this Thanksgiving. God bless. Be safe. Peace and love. Episode 229 is over. Catch y'all on the flip side. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here.